Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you because the entrance of your word brings light and it gives understanding to the simple. We declare that today for this fellowship hour, so let it be in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. I want to just, talk to us today about God's ability to supply our needs, not just one time, but continuously, multiple miracles, continuous supply, and limiting factors. I didn't have enough room, for you see, all those things, multiple miracles, and I want to talk about continuous supply, and also some limiting factors. Well, as you look at the lesson topic, multiple miracles, what comes to mind? See if I can engage you to put something in the chat room. What comes to mind about multiple miracles from the scriptures? What comes to mind about, continuous supply? Praise the Lord. So let's think about it for just a minute as we get into the lesson here. Our God, we're told in Philippians, chapter 4 and verse 19, our God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory, by Christ Jesus. So if he is able to supply our needs, well, why are we not getting our needs met? And if he is able to do it according to his riches in glory, and we need to believe that, he can do it, has nothing to do with what we have or don't have, because, that's what he's saying here. He said, according to his riches, not exactly according to my job, my business, my income, how much I have stored up, but according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. His riches, we won't talk about that. Does his supply ever run out? Is he able, to keep supplying? Let's think about that. Praise God. So, let me see if and what anyone might have posted. I got your supply, all our needs. Somebody posted the scriptures. Okay. The question was, what did you think about? What do you think about when you see this title? What comes to mind? And I want to share multiple miracles in the Bible, continuous supply, but I want to also talk about limiting factors. What that means, in terms of limiting factors. I want to talk about that. So it's going to be, just a very frank call out of the Word of God. And I pray that everybody, would listen. So the first scripture and, that we started out with is, Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. If you look at that scripture, my God shall supply. Well, there is evidence in the scriptures that God actually did do that for his people. There's also evidence in our lives. Many of us, and of you also have testimonies of what the Lord, you know, has done. There are times when he had supplied your needs, when, you know, times when, you know, you were short or you didn't even think that you had enough to meet the situation at hand, you know, but God, he came through. So, we'll talk about continuous supply. We'll talk about multiple concurrent miracles. And we'll talk about limiting factors. I want to share just a few stories in the Bible of how God, you know, would have done more for people, but they limited God. So there is some limiting factors that can, you know, prevent us from experiencing this continuous supply. You experience it one time or two times, but you may, you know, stop experiencing it. And then why? I want to look about it. You know, think about that. Is it because, you know, the Lord's hand is now shortened that he cannot continue to supply anymore? Or what really is it? You know, praise the Lord. And sometimes we're looking in the wrong places. I want to talk about that as well. You know, God always wants us, the Lord, he always wants us to look toward him and, you know, for our supply and not look any place else. You know, he said, my people have committed two evils. Jeremiah chapter 2 and verse 13. My people have committed two evils. In that one, they have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters. I mean, these living waters are issuing out continuously from him. Yeah, to supply our needs. But my people have forsaken that, and they've looked to other sources that cannot meet their needs. They have hewed out to themselves cisterns, even broken cisterns that can hold no water. What does that mean? Well, exactly what I said. You know, whereas God has this continuous fountain that is flowing, he's disappointed that the people don't look to him for the continuous supply, but they look elsewhere to places that cannot even supply their needs, is what he's saying here. You know, so let's take a look at this, some of these stories in the Bible and the admonitions that the Bible gives us about this very subject. Now, the story of the children of Israel, their journey, of course, you know, through the wilderness, you know, many of us are familiar with many aspects of that story. But let me call out one aspect here as captured not in Exodus or these other places, but captured in the book of Psalms of all places. Let's see how that this scripture captures their experience. You know, he said, there are many times that the people provoked the Lord, right? They provoked him. There were times they said, well, you know, we have no food. He took care of that. They said, well, we don't have any water. He took care of that. Well, this and this and that. Yeah, they were always, you know, provoking him to one thing or the other. You know, but God was always meeting their needs. There is a psalm in Psalm 78 that talks about, you know, encapsulates the journey of the children of Israel. He said, well, give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable, and I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from our children. We show them even to generations to come. Number one, the praises of our God and his strength and all his wonderful works which he has done. You know, how he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their own children in turn after them. You know, so it, you know, they should pass on this, you know, information and stories about the graces of God and how he supplied their needs. You should pass it on. Cause our children to believe and have their hope in God. He said that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. I might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. Well, a generation that forsook the Lord and sought out, you know, broken cisterns that could not hold water. You know, so he spoke about many things that they did here. He said, children of Ephraim, they were armed, they carried bows, but they turned back the day of battle. They kept not the covenant of God. They refused to walk in his law. They forgot his works and his wonders that he had showed them. See, so they seen some things, but then they forgot. And that was the sad story, you know, that the children of Israel, they saw his mighty hand, all his works in the land of Egypt. But as soon as they came out of there, the first difficulty that they ran into, they forgot. You know, but the Bible says that many marvelous things he did inside of our fathers, the land of Egypt, but they forgot. He even divided the sea, caused them to pass through, made waters to stand up as an heap. But in the daytime, he was a cloud unto them, and in the night, he was a pillar of fire. You know, he split even the rocks, he cleaved the rocks in the wilderness, and gave them drink as out of their depths. You know, he brought streams out of the rock, caused waters to run down like river. I mean, these are all the things that God did. But that, you know, and yet, they sinned the more against him by provoking the Most High in the wilderness. How did they provoke him? Well, they said, well, you know, can God bring us food and so forth? I mean, we want flesh. We want this. We want that. They said many things. They tempted God in their heart. They asked for meat for their lost. They spake against God. They said, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? Well, the Lord smote the rock, the waters gushed down, the streams overflowed. They said, well, okay, well, can he give us bread also? Can he provide flesh? People kept asking the Lord, even after God had done more and more. Now, these are some limiting factors as we read in this story here. Now, when the Lord heard all of this, though, he was wroth. So a fire was kindled against his own people. And his anger came up against Israel because they believed not in God, and they trusted not in his salvation, neither did they trust in his providence. You know, the Lord commanded the clouds from above. He opened up even the doors of heaven, rained down manna upon them to eat, gave them corn of heaven. They ate angels' food, sent them meat to the full. I mean, he did so many things, brought the wind to blow, bring grain, flesh from them, feathers of fowls, of the sands of the sea, let it fall into their camp. I mean, they would wake up in the morning and it was there, right about their habitation. So they ate, they were filled. You know, but God was not well pleased with many of them, you know, because they did not trust God. They were grumbling all the time. So when he gave them their own desire, and, you know, were not estranged from their loss. But while the meat was yet in their mouth, the wrath of God came upon them, and he slew the fattest of them. Smote them, even the chosen men of Israel. Why? Well, because they did not look continuously unto him, and they complained all the time. There's a lot of limiting factors and stories we can learn. Yet for all these, they sinned still and believed not for his wondrous works. Therefore, their days did he consume in vanity, and their years in trouble, and he shortened their time. Many of them were slain in the wilderness, you know, whereas at first, he was going to do them good. Their clothes did not even wear out in the beginning, their shoes and so forth. But when they began, their hearts began to turn away from him and so forth. Well, he slew them, you know. When he slew them, well, sometimes they sought unto him. They inquired after God. And then they remembered that the Lord was their Redeemer. Nevertheless, they flattered him with their mouth. They lied unto him with their tongues, for their heart was not right with him. You know, neither were they steadfast in his commandment and believing God. They were not steadfast. One day they believed, another day they didn't, next day they grumbled, and so forth. Now, you know, let us not be like that, you know, even in our times and in our generations. You know, but he, being full of compassion, he forgave their iniquity. Did not utterly destroy all of them. He did some of them, but not all of them. Many times, you know, turned his anger away and did not always stir up all his wrath. For he remembered that they were but flesh, a wind that passeth away and cometh not again. But how often did they provoke him in the wilderness? He grieved him in the desert. They turned out. Listen to this. This is where we're going. I just read all that background for you. They turned their back and tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. They remembered not his hand, nor the day when he delivered them from the enemy. They forgot, you know, the things that he had done, you know, how he had wrought wonders and signs in the land of Egypt, you know, and he had turned their rivers into blood in their floors that they could not drink. I sent sorts of flies that devoured them, frogs and all these things. And, you know, things that he did, they forgot. You know, they limited the Holy One of Israel. Now, this is a wonderful psalm. I'm not going to read all of it, but you can read it all on your own. The whole journey of Israel, the times that the many times that they did not believe are encapsulated in this psalm. And the highlight of it that I wanted to bring out is the fact that they limited, you know, the Holy One of Israel. You know. Now, God's ability is steadfast. He can do what he said he would do. But, you know, we can actually limit the hand of God by our not remembering the good things that he has done. The Lord said, well, you have committed two evils in that you have not remembered me, the source and the fountain of living waters. I can issue out and heal you, supply your needs, do anything, give everything you want to you, but you turn to things that cannot even hold any water. So the Lord laments over that many times. Now let me tell you another story here, which also illustrates this point of keep on believing. I like to say this, you know, remember not only the good hand of the Lord that he has shown you in the past to help you believe for the present conflict or situation. But also, when you see the good hand of the Lord now, don't stop believing. Because God has the ability to give you non-stop supply. which I call continuous supply. But if you stop believing, then, well, something other than what God intended might be the result. There's a story in 2 Kings chapter 13 that, illustrates, this point about, believing for multiple things and continuous victories and continuous supply from the Lord. Now, in the time of Elisha, the prophet, during his days, he helped many of the kings of Israel, Judah, etc. And it was a time that Israel was facing situations with, some of their enemies. They're always facing situations. It's either the Syrians or this and that that oppress them or do something. And they were always constantly in battle. There was a time when, the prophet Elisha, he was sick and he was about to die. And the king of Israel came to him. At that time, they were in a situation with Syria. And so let's read this story. In the book of 2 Kings chapter 13, we read from verse 14. Now, Elisha was falling sick of his sickness whereof he died. And Joash, who was king of Israel at the time, came down to him and wept over his face. He said, "Oh, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof." That was a saying back in the time of Elisha. The sons of the prophets and different things, they carried this story. They heard what Elisha said when Elijah was taken away from him. He said, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And sometimes people will just, the thing they may remember about somebody is some notable thing they said. And, and they just say, it's this thing. I remember I've done that too. I'm thinking of somebody, I would just say something that they used to say all the time. So this was something that was known of Elisha, and the king came and said, my father, the chariot of Israel, the horsemen thereof. Elisha said, he already knew what the man was dealing with. So he cut through the chase right away. And he said to him, take bow and arrows. So the man had to go get some bow and arrows. I don't think he came with bow and arrows when he came to talk to Elisha. He probably had to send somebody to go get it. Go get this thing for me. The prophet is calling for it. So he got it. And Elisha waited. And then when he got it, he said to the king of Israel, put your hand on it, because see how he gives him instruction and strategy one by one. Put your hand upon the bow. And he did. And Elisha also put his hand upon his hand. So he's going to put a spiritual force, upon that thing. The prophetic anointing is coming upon that thing from the hand of the prophet. I said, but you got to put your hand on there first. Now put my hand and together. We're going to believe the Lord for this thing. All right. So, and he told him, open the window eastward toward the place where Syria was located. So he opened the window. He said, okay. And then, the next step, just see how Elisha guiding him step by step. He said, shoot. And he shot. And when he shot, he said, that's the arrow of the Lord's deliverance and the arrow of deliverance from Israel. For thou shalt smite the Syrians in Aphek till thou have consumed them. That's what Elisha told him by the prophetic word. He said, this arrow that you shot, sometimes some of those prophets, they like to enact these things. He said, well, this arrow that you just shot is representing the deliverance, the arrow of God's deliverance that it's going to give you from the hand of Syria. And you're going to smite them. And, you know, then the Lord prompted Elisha and told him again, take the arrows and shoot. And then, well, so, you know, he shot. And when I remember that the prophet said, you're going to smite them until you have consumed them. And so he gave him instructions. All right, now do it. These arrows that you're shooting here represents the victory that you have over Assyria, and you're going to consume them. So now the prophet stepped back and said, okay, you heard the word. Act upon it. Now, take your arrow and shoot. And the prophet just looked at him. So he took his arrow and his bow. And he already guided him, showed him what to do. Gave him the word also. Now you do it. Okay? So he did. And he took them and said, well, smite the ground. And he did. And then the man smote the arrow. He took one arrow from his bow. And took his bow. You know, from the quiver, took the arrow from the quiver, took his bow, shot the ground one time. And then, remember, the first time he said, shoot the arrow out through the window toward the east. Now this time, shoot the arrow to the ground. You're going to smite them to the ground. So, okay. So he shot the arrow. And the prophet was just looking. So the man shot the arrow 3 times. The prophet didn't tell him how many times to do it. He just told him to do it. So he did, and he shot the arrow 3 times, and then he stopped. And then when he stopped, you know, at 3, the man of God was very angry, we're told here. Why did he stop at 3? Well, you might say, well, you didn't tell me how many times to shoot. You just told me to do it. Well, why did you do even 2? Why didn't you just stop at 1? And if you are going to go to 3, why do you stop at 3? When you are on a roll, why do you stop? That's the question that I want to ask you guys in the room today, everybody. You know, why do you stop believing? You're on a roll with God. Why do you stop? I mean, you shoot the arrow once, you know, 2, 3. Why didn't you go 4, 5, 6 and keep shooting until the quiver was empty? So Elisha was angry with him. And he told him, well, that should have smitten 5 or 6 times or even more times. And then without smitten Syria until you have consumed them. Remember, the word said you're going to smite them until you consume them. You know, but you only smite them 3 times. You know, so you're only going to have 3 victories over them. And unfortunately, those 3 victories will not consume them. Should have done it 5, 6 or more times. Well, this is an interesting story, you know, because it illustrates the point that I'm trying to bring in this lesson, you know, of the continuous supply, God's ability to give you victory after victory and continuous supply. But you got to keep believing. If you stop, then it stops. You know, so limiting the Holy One of Israel. And so we'll talk about the limiting factors. God's ability is there, but the fountain of living waters may not produce anything for us when we turn away, number one, turn away from him, go look for something else, as Jeremiah 2 and 13 said, or, you know, we stop believing, you know, you can keep coming to the Lord and he's got everything that you need and then some, but sometimes we stop short of believing. Now, there are other stories in the Bible that illustrates how God does these things and he can continue to supply our needs. But I also want to talk about, you know, multiple miracles. I'm going to make a declaration for you right now. And so maybe towards the end, I might say it again, but let me just say this right now as the Holy Spirit prompts me. You know, you will receive good news. But when you do, don't stop at 1. You will receive even more. You know, it's called multiple miracles. You get 1 news, then another news, but not bad news. Good news. But you got to keep believing God for it. Now, if you don't believe, well, you may only get one or two. But if you believe, you can get, you know, two or three or four or five in a row. I mean, God likes to do these things, you know, like that. He'll give you victory over the lion. Yeah, it's multiple miracles, multiple victories. He's not going to stop there. He'll also give you victory over the beer. Well, and if you don't stop believing, well, he'll give you victory over Goliath as well. I mean, on and on, we see scriptures. One time in Luke chapter 1, you know, the story, Angel Gabriel visited Mary and gave her some news. Well, at that time, it really wasn't good news for her because she didn't really know. It was good news in God's prophetic and eternal purpose, but she didn't know the role that she would play. She got the good news. But, you know, it actually turned her life upside down. Unfortunately, you know, for her, but it was significant in God's plans, you know, so, you know, God, of course, gave her understanding eventually, but it turned her life upside down because, you know, people started to look at her and she got pregnant, wedlock and all that stuff. But, you know, first it was that news. And right away, there was a companion news. You know, actually, if you look at it the other way, it was Elizabeth, who was to be the mother of John the Baptist, her husband being Zacharias the priest at the time, that first got the news 6 months earlier that they would be pregnant and have a baby that they had been waiting for a long time. And then the companion miracle was that her cousin, Mary, also was pregnant, now chosen by the Lord to do this thing. And if you look at it from Mary's perspective, well, the angel said to her also that, look, this thing that you think is hard, you've got to do it. And God had done even more. He said, even, I tell you, your cousin, Elizabeth, who was supposed to be barren, is now 6 months pregnant. And so the news is coming. Good things are happening. And, you know, her heart is rejoicing. I said, wow. The Holy Spirit, I mean, the angel is saying to her, well, there's nothing impossible with God. Even your cousin that everybody said was, you know, barren, is now 6 months pregnant. I said, wow. You know, so one thing after the other, miracle after miracle, the news, the good news can come like that. Supply, you know, the Spirit of God can be also continuous. You don't have to receive the Holy Spirit baptism just one time in your life. Many of us think that that's the case. Yeah, well, that's not the case. You can keep coming to the well as many times as you want. You know, so what Paul said, the tense, you know, that is used here in the book of Ephesians, you know, chapter 5, verse 18, is a continuous supply. He said, don't be drunk with wine. That's not the part that I'm talking about. But the next part, wine is excess. Don't be drunk with it. But be filled. It's actually being filled with the Spirit. In other words, be continuously filled. That's a continuous supply of the Spirit of God. Now, in Acts chapter 2, you know the story of how they got the Holy Ghost at the first. You know, while they were waiting in the upper room, the Holy Ghost came, tongues of fire split on all them, and they began to prophesy and speak in tongues and different things. You know that story. And out of that experience that day, you know, 3,000 souls were saved in one day and baptized, every one of them. Okay, so, you know, that was the birth of the church at that time. First time the Holy Ghost would come. Like that. And then, you know, enough time passes. The disciples are walking in the power and the glory of God. They're doing things. Peter and John going down to the temple to pray, healing one man, you know, that was there the whole time. Now, that man, you might remember, was actually there at the time of Jesus. You know, Jesus did not encounter him. Probably he just left that for the disciples to do. So, because the man was a grown man, and Jesus was has been gone now only a few months. So, this man was there. But it was going to be John and Peter that would take care of this business. Jesus left that for them to do. So, they healed the man. You know the story. Peter saying, silver and gold I have none, and so forth. And then eventually a lot of opera and different things, and they grabbed them, they threw them in, you know, brought them before the council, beat them up, say, look, we don't want you speaking this name, and etc. In chapter 4, you know, after they went through all of that threatening and so forth, the Bible says they went back to their own company being let go. They were beating and, you know, threatening not to speak anymore in the name of Christ. You know, but they went to their company, they being joyful that they were counted worthy to suffer persecution for the name of the Lord's sake. Scripture says they went to their own company. And now let's read it. What happened? This is multiple and supply of the Spirit of God. You don't have to receive the Holy Ghost just one time in your life. You know, so now they went to their own people, and what they said was they made this prayer when they got to their people. So let's read it in Acts chapter 4 from verse 23. Being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had done unto them. When they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is therein, who by the mouth of thy servant David has said, why did the heathen rage? And the people imagine vain things. The kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord, against his Christ. So according to the scriptures, this is what happened. You know, for of a truth, against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together for to do whatsoever the scripture I predetermined that should be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness we may speak thy word, by stretching forth thy hand to heal, and the signs and miracles and wonders be done by the name thy holy child Jesus. And as they prayed, see, the place was shaking together, just like it was on the day of Pentecost. Shaking together where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. These people who had just received the Holy Ghost just a couple of months ago, they come back, receive the Holy Ghost all over again, because now they are afraid. You know, says, behold, they are threatening. So Holy Ghost, come again, fill them up again. Now, so you can come as many times. Don't say I received the Holy Ghost 30 years ago and you speak in tongues, but there's no power. It's dead. The whole thing, there's nothing. You need an igniting. You need a rekindling. You need to come for more of the Lord. You know, you can come as many times as you want. You know, this illustration I often give, you know, about taking your bucket to the ocean and taking a feel. Well, you can come once if you like and stop coming, and that's okay. I mean, it's all cool. Or you can come more times, and that will be okay too. You can actually also increase the size of your container. Believe for more and get more. You know, Lord, so Abraham, you know, what, as far as you can see, that's what I'll give you. If you can see a little, you get it. If you see more, you get it. Whatever you can see, you know, you can get it. For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 14. Well, that's what the Lord used one day to show me the revelation that the knowledge of the Lord is progressive, and you can come and anything you want from the Lord, you know, you can get more. You just have to keep coming. It says the waters cover the sea You can come and take a bucket and take some water from the sea. You're not even going to leave a dent. And you can, you know, instead of coming with a bucket, you can bring a barrel. You still will not leave a dent. Well, instead of bringing a barrel, you can bring this, you know, heavy oil tanker or water tanker size of things. You still won't leave a dent. You can come one time. You can come multiple times. The source of this supply remains. It's left for you to keep coming. But if you stop believing, then it's almost as if the thing dried up, but the thing never dried up. Now, so there are stories, other stories in the Bible, you know, that where, I mean, there's a story, multiple stories in the Bible where God created and sustained supply. First of all, created the supply and sustained it for as long as it was needed. There's a story in 1 Kings chapter 17, from about verses 10 through 16. Elijah, this was Elijah now, and the widow of Zarephath, you know, that the Lord sent her him to. And he said to the woman, well, get me something to drink. And as she was going to do, he said, well, I pray you bring me a small piece of cake. I'm hungry. And she said, well, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have nothing in the house except this and this and that. You know, got only a little thing left and just a cup of flour and a little small thing of oil. And I'm going to bake a cake and my son and I, we're going to eat our last meal. I'm holding in my hands and we're just going to wait and die. Because that's it. This is the last. Gathering two sticks to do that. You know. Because there had been a sore famine in the land. Elijah had called for that famine. And Elijah looked at the woman and said, well, don't worry about it. Nobody is dying today. Neither your son, nor you, nobody. You're not dying. Just go and do as you said. However, bring me something. Then he put, thus saith the Lord, on it. The prophetic word has the power to create supply. You know, but what sustains it is your believing. You gotta keep on believing for it. The prophetic word, put it out there. He said, thus saith the Lord, the barrel of meal. Glory to God. Shall not waste. Neither shall the cruse of oil fail. In other words, you pour it out, it will not fail. Until the day that the Lord brings rain. As long as your need remains, if you believe this word, the Lord will supply. So she went, believed, did what the man of God said, brought him something. And, you know, because the Lord already said, look, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain you. The woman knew nothing about it. Elijah himself knew nothing about it until God said it. Then he knew. But the woman didn't know. See? And so God did a 2-for-1 there. Not only would the widow woman sustain Elijah, God didn't need that. It was more so Elijah, the woman needed him even more. Because God was taking care of him by the brook. I mean, giving him food, giving him water, you know, by the brook. But God allowed the brook to dry because there's this widow woman that God needed to save. She and her son. But while saving her, she would be the one also sustaining Elijah. That's how God works. And he created this, orchestrated this divine appointment. The woman knew nothing about it. Elijah knew nothing about it until God told him. And so he went. And then he saw the woman. He knew that, that would be the one. But the woman knew nothing. But look at what God did. Brought Elijah into her house. Barrel of meal did not fail. The cruse of oil, did not waste the cruse of oil. The little flour she had was not exhausted. And it did not, you know, become stale or anything like that. or corrupted. I mean, supplied. She was able to bake bread, live many days, you know, sustain her family, herself and her son, and also the prophet throughout all that time. You know, and as long as there was a need, the supply was kept on flowing, you know, like that. And there's another story like that, even more profound, in 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 1 to 6. Now, this was Elisha now, you know, with this miracle of supply. And this one I want to read because it was an interesting story. Very interesting. And I am sure many people know this story. But for completeness of this lesson, there was a certain woman, you know, that came to Elisha. She was of the one of the wives of the sons of the prophets, you know, and her husband had died, you know. So she was of the religious group, the prophets and so forth. So she came to Elisha and said, "Thy servant, my husband, is dead." And you know, she's going to state her case now. You know how that my husband did fear the Lord and did all these things. But now the creditors have come to take my two sons because I can't pay my, you know, whatever bills. The breadwinner is dead now. Nobody to pay the bills. And so she got a lot of bills and they're going to take her son to be bondsman to pay for the debt. And she didn't want any of that. Come to cry to the prophet. So Elisha says to her, "What shall I do for thee? Tell me. What do you have in the house?" It's an interesting story. I love this story. "What do you have?" Oh, the woman said, "Thy handmaid had nothing." I said, "Well, think again. You got something." I said, "Well, yeah, but you know, I do actually have this pot of oil, but what can I do with that?" See, that's the question that is in the heart of people. Whatever is in your hand at the moment, you think it's not enough. It's too little. You know, God can't meet my needs. I don't have enough. I can't pay my bills. I can't do this. I can't do that. You know, maybe, you know, you have a shortfall instead of an overflowing and you're thinking, I can't make ends to meet. Well, listen to the prophetic word again. It says to her, you know, well, here's what you're going to do. The oil that you have that you think is nothing is enough. And it's like, what is in your hand? God said that to Moses at the Red Sea. What is in your hand? What is it? What do you have? Whatever you have is good enough. It's enough for the Lord. Yeah, the Lord just has to put a blessing on it. Now, what he said, well, here's what you need to do. This little pot of oil that you have in the house, this is the very thing that the Lord's going to use to meet your needs. They're not going to need to take your sons away. But here's what you must do. Now, go borrow some vessels from all your neighbors. As many as you can find. Borrow not a few. Now, when you come in, though, here's how you must do it. Shut the door upon you and your sons. We don't want anybody peeping in, no peeping spirits, no marching spirits, you know, at this miracle. You know, don't let anybody discover what the Lord is doing for you. Don't tell them, don't show them your secret. Cast not thy pearls before swine, neither put your jewels out before dogs. Don't let them see what you're doing. Just do it. And God's going to give you this thing. So, well, here's what you do, though. You know, bring the pots, you know, and pour the oil. And when it is full, set it aside, take the next one and pour. When it is full, set it aside, take the next one. So she went, she believed the word of the Lord, you know, and she went, she was used also to, you know, carrying prophetic word. She lived among the sons of the prophets. So she knew the man of God would come through. So she believed. She went, God has sons, say, hey, look, go to all our neighbors. Borrow some vessels. So they went to the neighbors, knocked. Yeah, can we borrow a pot or two? How many you have? And bring it once. Well, I need some more. So well, that's all I got. Huh? They went to the next one. on and on and on. They borrowed as many pots as they could have. So, well, we'll bring them back soon enough. Never mind. We'll bring them back. I said, okay, fine. No worries. They didn't tell them what they're going to do. So they come in. So the woman is doing what this man of God says, you know, bring me a pot, she said. They brought her a pot. She poured in. Okay. She set it aside and it was full. Now remember, she started out with just one pot. Now this one pot is going to fill many pots. It's called continuous supply. And so bring the next pot. She filled it. Set it aside. Bring me the next pot. She filled it. Bring me the next pot. You know, finally, and the whole time as she's doing this, every time they give her a pot, she just takes the pot of oil that she started with, which by now should have been long time emptied. You know, she poured again and there is more. And she's like, oh my goodness, this is, it's amazing. And they keep doing it. So finally, bring me another pot, she said. And the sons said, there is no more. You know, we ran out. He said, there is not a vessel more. So let's look at it. And it came to pass, verse 6, when the vessels were so full, she set them apart, and so she said to her son again, bring me yet another vessel. And he said unto her, there is not any more vessels here. And then the oil stayed. See, that's the thing. As long as she kept receiving, or the sons kept giving her, you know, something to fill out, you know, when you bring it, the Lord will fill it. So, but when there was nothing else to receive the blessing, then he stopped. It's amazing. If they could have kept bringing that pot for months, the thing would have kept on filling the pots. But when there was no more, well, the thing then stopped. It's amazing. You know? So, the lesson that tells us is this. The miracle of supply will stop when you stop bringing a vessel to receive it. In other words, you stop believing that it will stop. But as long as you keep on believing, God will keep on supplying. It's that simple. And then she came back and told, my goodness, oh man of God, what you said, you know, this and this. She was so excited. She told it everything. Because the man already knew that that would be the case. And he tells her, okay, cool. Here's what you do, though. You know, you go set up shop and start selling, you know, this oil. So sell them to all these same neighbors that you borrowed them from. And all the money you made from it, you will be able to pay your bills and a lot of money left for you to live on. So, oh, she learned the secret of starting that business. And she did. And, you know, God met her need that way. But you see how the lesson. The oil stopped when there was no more pot to fill it with. That's when the oil stopped. You know, if somehow they continue to bring the pot till this day, the oil will still be flowing. But when there was no more, then the oil stopped. See, that's how it works. Even in the New Testament, Jesus illustrated this same story. Matthew, John, some of them captured these stories. But let's see how Matthew captured it. In Matthew chapter 14, verses 15 to 21, there is a story of continuous supply. Again, that the Lord, you know, and the only limiting factor is, well, it would have been the unbelief of the disciples. Thank God in this case, they actually did believe. So as the story went, let's read it. This is also a nice one. Matthew chapter 14, verses 15 to 21. And Jesus, many times he had people and crowds that gathered around him, followed him for days. In this particular case, they followed him too. And sometime evening, they were still there in evening time. The stores had closed. There's no place to get them food. And they ran out. They'd been with him for days. So Jesus said unto them, well, you know, or actually the disciples came unto him and said, well, Master, it is evening time. You know, send these people away. I mean, how long are we going to be here? I mean, stores are closed. We don't have food to give them. Send them away. Let them go eat. They can come back tomorrow. Jesus said, no. There's no reason to, you know, send them away. give them to eat. And his disciples say, give them to eat. Where in the world are we going to get the food to feed all these thousands of people? You know? Well, Jesus said, well, what do you have? They said, well, we only got, you know, 5 loaves, 2 fishes. Wow. And it's like, I mean, in the mind of the disciples, what is that among so many? Another place, that's what he said. But Jesus said, well, bring them to me what you got. Now, the way I tell this story is like, you know, that was probably one little boy's lunch that the mom had packed for him. Mom, I want to go. The Jesus is there, you know, all these things. And he said, well, you know, she started to run off. He said, okay, you may go. So, hey, come back, get something to eat. And, you know, so she packs him something. And in his excitement, you know, he doesn't even eat anything. He's just so wrapped up in listening to the master. And the mama said, oh, be sure you come back before dark. So when they're asking, you know, looking around, anybody have any food? This young boy jumps out and says, yeah, here, have my lunch. So it was just a little lunch that his mom had packed for him. That's all it was. But in the hands of the master, it's not just a little lunch. You know, he could put a blessing on him and cause him to supply the need of thousands. And Jesus, you know, when he said, you know, commanded the multitude to sit down. In another place, he said, well, set them up in companies. You know, and he gave them instruction, gave them strategy. You know, that they should sit them in the other place. He said, sit them down in 50s. And then they set them down. And he blessed the little boy's lunch and put it in the hands of the disciples. Now, I often tell people that you should consider this lesson because Jesus himself, you know, was not the one that fed the multitudes, right? He didn't feed the multitudes. The version in Luke chapter 9, verses 14 to 17, you know, he told them, you know, make them sit down by 50s in a company. Gave them instruction. Sit them down in 50s and so forth. Well, why? Well, you'll find out why in a minute. So when the Lord, he took the, you know, 5 loaves, 2 fishes, he looked up to heaven, he blessed it, break it, and gave it to the disciples to set before the multitude. Now, if you turn to Luke chapter 9, verses 14 to 17, you'll see that that's the way Luke reported it. Jesus gave them instructions, sit them down in companies. And after blessing the little thing, which everybody thought, what can that do? Just a little boy's lunch. But not in the hands of the master. When you put it in God's hands, the little thing you have, he bless it and he give it back to you. But he will give you strategy. What to do with it. Strategy is sit and die in companies. Now, if you consider this story, and I've told this story many times, you know, sometimes here, sometimes at our church, that look, this thing that was happening, these people partnered with Christ in this continuous supply. The disciples did. Jesus only blessed the, you know, the 5 loaves and 2 fishes and gave it to the disciples and walked away. And let me remind you that it is not a big feat. There's nothing too great in taking 5 loaves and splitting that up into 12 pieces. You can do that. I can do that. There's no miracle in that one. I mean, all you have to do is break the piece, give it to Andrew, Peter, James, all of them. Break a little piece of the fish. There's no big miracle in that one. But the miracle is the hidden blessing that Jesus put on the thing. But you got to keep believing in order for it to keep multiplying and continuously supply the need. So that's why Jesus did it that way. Sit them down in 50s after you feed the first 50, go on to the next 50. And you got to keep believing because this thing is in your hand. Not in Jesus' hand now. Jesus already blessed the thing and just walked away. He's done. He just walked away. Yeah, it's in your hands now. Just like Elijah, he put his hand on the thing and blessed it and they told the man, well, it's do, you know, strike them down to the ground now. But the man stopped. See, when he stopped, the prophet was angry. Now, in this case, thank God the disciples kept believing. But it was amazing. I mean, Peter would look at the, you know, he started out with just enough in his hands. Just two hands. That's what he had. Just some crumb of bread and some crumb of fishes. And then, as he was passing it out, he passed it out to the first person. And he found out that he had more to still give out. He passed it out to the next person. He found out that he had more to still give out. To the next, to the next, and to the next. And, you know, as they were doing it and passing it out, I mean, it's like the thing kept multiplying. The continuous supply, ladies and gentlemen, was not in the hands of Jesus. Some people might think that that's sacrilegious, but that's the truth. Jesus is not the one that fed the multitudes. He didn't do it. You know, we tell stories that, oh, Jesus fed 5,000. Jesus didn't feed the multitudes. It was the disciples that did it. Jesus only blessed the thing and put it back in their hands to go do it. Now, so, you know, it's the same thing as you say, oh, would Jesus baptize more disciples than John? Jesus didn't baptize anybody. It was actually his disciples that did it, but the scripture said he did more than John the Baptist. So, we're told that Jesus fed the multitudes. It was really the disciples that did it. Jesus only blessed the thing and put it in their hands. And so, but the story is this. They had to keep on believing, you know, as they fed the first group of 50s. And I remember, you know, about maybe 5,000 or more. So, 50s, you got to go through about 100 of them. That's only 12 of you. So, you're not going to do just 150. You're going to do 3 or 4 or so, but as many of you, you know. And as they're dishing out the thing is multiplying in the hands of Peter. Not exactly in the hand of Jesus. Jesus didn't multiply anything. He just, I mean, it's easy to break 5 pieces of bread into 12. That's easy. But he put a blessing on it. And the blessing would multiply in the hands of Peter, James, John, Andrew, Philip, all of them. As long as there were more people to feed. You go from the 50, you go to the next 50. But you gotta keep believing. And you stop. If you stop, thank God that there was one example where the disciples actually believed. They were partners with God in this miracle of supply. And all they needed was to keep believing the fountain of living waters. He had to keep believing the supply. You know, and Jesus put that blessing. And as they were giving it out, was multiplying. Oh my goodness. Give it up. Oh my goodness. I mean, the thing was not stopping. And not ceasing. Well, when they have finished feeding the whole crowd, in this particular case, they said, well, the thing stopped. And then they gathered up all the things that were left. And people ate so much, even the people that were eating, they were multiplying. Because they only got a piece. But as they were eating, they ate so much that they had leftovers. And out of the little piece that Peter and James and John gave them, they ate so much and they had leftovers. I'm like, and they put all the leftovers. I mean, these people came out, they had their little sacks too and little baskets, but they were all empty. And they had leftovers. And then I said, well, gather up the fragments, let nothing waste. And they gathered up the fragments. Well, guess what? All those fragments they gathered up belonged to the little boy that gave Jesus this thing in the first place. Well, it was his, if he wanted it. Because he supplied, you know, the source that was used, and Jesus put a blessing on it. So, the lesson in that story is that God can give and supply continuously, you know, a miracle to meet our needs. Continuous supply, multiple miracles. Go from one company to the other. The miracle continues. You partnering with Jesus, but it's in your hands. But you got to keep believing. Praise God. So that's enough lessons. More stories like that we can tell. And even I have real life stories to tell. But suffices for now. I'm going to pray and make some declarations for you. But number one, remember, if you limit the Holy One of Israel, not only will God be angry, you know, supply would stop. And if you limit yourself also, supply would stop. If you say, oh, I can't do that, well, it's like, you know, 10 out of the, 12 spies that Moses said, they said, we can't do that. Well, God said, fine, then you can't do that. And the one that said, we can't do it, and God said, fine, you will do that. So, you know, be careful now. Don't think that you don't have enough, or you can't do it, or I can't pay my bills. Well, I can't pay my bills, then you can't pay your bills. If you say, my bills will be paid, and I will have more left over, then your bills will be paid, and you have more left over. Don't worry about how God is going to do it. That's none of your concern. What you got to be concerned about is believing God, and don't stop believing. Don't stop believing. Bring your vessels, not a few. Don't bring just a few. Bring a lot. And don't bring a small size cup. Bring a barrel. Why even bring a barrel when you can bring a tanker? Just come. There's plenty more where that came from. Now, I'm going to release the prophetic word for some of you here today. Just like these people did. And just like Jesus said, well, go feed the disciples. Just like Elijah said to the woman, do it. Just like Elijah said to the woman. I mean, all of these cases, it started by God releasing something, Jesus releasing something, but the people had to keep on believing. So now also I release for you right now by the word of the Lord and through the prophetic word, that power of continuous supply to the very little that you think you have. Praise God. Now I want every one of you that thinks that you don't have enough. What? You lost your job, or you've been downsized, or this and this and that. And it looks as if, well, I can't make ends meet. I think again. Praise God. God is able to take the little that's in your hand and say, what do you have in your hand? So I don't have anything. So look again. Think again. You got something. Everybody got something. There's no such thing as I have nothing. The little that you have is enough. You bring it to God and believe that. Now, I'm not telling you to give an offering. I'm not taking an offering up today. This is not a message about that. You know, some other thing may tell you that and trick you to do that. That's not what we're talking about. I'm saying you believe God in your heart that God will take that thing. He will show you how to do something with what you have, the little you have, and be able to meet your needs. Hallelujah. And God can supernaturally do it too if he wants to. And he will show you how to do it. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, I release your word and the power to create change and to cause continuous supply of the Spirit of God, if that's what we need. Continuous supply, even of our material needs, if that's what you need. Supply of your health. He heal you today of this and he heal you tomorrow of that. And he heal you next time of the next thing. Whatever it is, he will do that too. I release it for your people today in Jesus' name. Now let every heart be open. Say, open your mouth wide and I will fill it, saith the Lord. And thus saith the Lord, multiple miracles, companion miracles are coming for you. You have one good news. And then right after that, another. And then another. I declare so in Jesus' name. Glory to God. Huh. Now. Behold, saith the Lord, look for it, because when it starts, it shall come like a flood. Glory to God. It will come. It will start slow, but when it comes, it will be rapid succession. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now, God can do rapid fire miracles if he wants to, but sometimes he lets the wheels turn slowly, you know, to see if we'll believe. Will you still believe? Well, I believe God. Praise God. But now I decree rapid fire for you in Jesus' name. And companion miracles coming for you. And I decree the grace of God over that situation that you think, you know, I don't have enough or I can't do this. No, don't you ever say I can't. There's no such thing. I can do all things, Paul said. Philippians 4:30. I can do all things through Christ, you know. I can pay my bills. I can meet all my obligations. I can do all these things through Christ. And then some. You will not only, God doesn't want us to just barely survive. You will have enough to even thrive. Good measure. Hallelujah. God will give you. As long as you keep believing. Now remember, my people are committed to evils. They stopped believing me, the fountain of living waters. And they turned their attention. They turned to all these other things that cannot hold any water, said the Lord. So what you believe the word of the Lord today, Jehoshaphat said, believe the Lord your God. And so shall you be established. But for you to really prosper, believe the prophet. And so shall you prosper. Well, the prophetic word that we release in the room for you today will cause you to prosper. It will prosper because you will believe it, you will act upon it, and don't stop at one or two or three. Why? Get more. See more. God told Abraham, and get more. May the Lord open your eyes to believe more and to see more. All the land that you can see, I give you. If you see a little bit, you get a little bit. If you believe for one or two, you get one or two. If you believe for three or four, you get three or four. And you believe more, you get more. God, the Lord is able. Our God is able. Supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Not according to your salary, not according to money in your bank, not according to your job, not according to job you don't have, but according to his riches, his endless riches. Glory to God. Thank you, Father, for blessing your people for understanding this morning. Now, it is now in your hands. Put the thing, you know, put your faith into action. You know, the little money you have, believe God that he will meet your needs. Don't worry about how you do it. The little salary you say is not enough, don't worry. You will just find out at the end of the day, God meet all your needs. You know, and you will be able to testify. Praise God. Testify, you know. You're going to be, God will also heal you of this thing and that thing and the other thing. You know, he's not going to heal you only of one thing. It's capable of healing you of this, that, and the other. Praise God. You know, you need more of the anointing of God. You receive the Holy Spirit, come for more. The continuous supply of the Spirit of God is also here. Everything you need, Jesus got it, and more. Then some too. Praise the Lord. The Lord bless everybody that listen to this. It is well with you. The prophetic word come forth for you. And God will watch over that word to perform it in your life. I make no apologies for the word of God. You know, we speak it because we believe. Therefore, we have spoken. I believe it and I have spoken it for you. And you receive it and you run with it. Praise God. And so it is spoken and so it shall be. Even the law of the Medes and Persians were told, once spoken and sealed, it cannot be changed. Huh? How much more? The word of God. We have spoken it. And the Lord will watch over it. The angels also, they have their assignment. Watch over it and bring it to pass. It is so spoken, and so it is, so shall it be. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.